Okay, so my understanding, first I'll offer the prayers. Oh my God,
and some fear of repercussions.
which is performed because the practitioner is without affection for the Lord. Raghunuga Bhakti, Bhaktas are the followers of the Raghatmika Bhaktas who have rag in their heart, or whose hearts are fully saturated with absorption in Radha and Krishna, and at the same time have an unquenchable thirst to attain their service and association. Raghunuga is following in their footsteps. Rupanuga is not Lalita or Vishaka because they're not followers of Rupa Goswami. They're not Manjaris. So Rupanuga are only those who are full followers of Rupa Goswami in this world and all of his teachings and activities. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada told us that he wants us to follow all of the verses in the Sad Goswami Astakam, how they gave up all connection with aristocracy, just wore loincloth, and wandered through Vrindavan, calling out, "Where are you, Radha? Where are you, Krishna? Are you somewhere under the Bansiba tree? Are you at the foot of Govardhan?" And becoming just like madmen, and at the same time, being the greatest scholars of all scriptures, and pouring down upon this world of impersonalists the nectar of Govinda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So this is the mission of Rupa Goswami, and had he not appeared in Kali Yuga, who would have opened the great storehouse of Braj Prem, particularly Gopi Prem, and particularly Bhavulas Rati. Bhavulas Rati is a particular Stai Bhav, or foundational, permanent ecstasy of the Manjaris. They're the only ones who have this as a Stai Bhav. All the other gopis have their Stai Bhav as Madhurya, and their Sukrit Bhav, or their friendship with Radharani, as a Sanchari Bhav, or a temporary emotional or devotional ecstasy, which arises like waves from the ocean of their Sai Bhav, or their attachment for Krishna, and comes like a big wave, their friendship with Radharani, and then goes back into the ocean as waves do. With the Manjaris, and this is the gift of Srila Rupa Goswami, is that the wave of the Manjaris' affectionate friendship with Radharani is so big and so ever-increasing unlimitedly that it becomes the ocean. So it becomes their Sai Bhav, that ecstasy of her service. So without Rupa Goswami, who would have opened the great storehouse to Braj Prem, and especially Gopi Prem, and especially this Manjari Bhav? So Srila Gurudev, being a manifestation of Srila Rupa Goswami, as stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sharanagati prayers, where would we be now in Kali Yuga, this period of Kali Yuga? Gurudev is the Yuga Acharya, as a follower of Srila Prabhupada. I was just seeing one lecture that Srila Gurudev gave in Australia, where he said, "He is Bhaktivedanta, and I am Bhaktivedanta. Declare to the world that I am his only successor." So, just as a swan separates milk from water, who could have separated the rasas to taste them? Everything was there before Rupa Goswami. Goloka Vrindavan was there. But he explained everything in such a way that anyone with that swarup and sukriti can connect with his bona fide representative and taste the various rasas by becoming a full 100% sevak of that Sri Guru. Then, abandoning everything, he performed bhajan in Vrindavan and wrote his rustic literature. We know that one of the main verses of Srila Gurudev is that the essence of all instruction of all the Vedic literatures is Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu. The essence of all advice is to live in Braj under the guidance of a particular Brajvasi, namely the representative of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari, and chant the holy names while remembering the pastimes of those holy names, like Madhusudan, like Damodar, like Govinda. Then, who could have understood Krishna's leelas in Mathura and Vrindavan? Srila Gurudev is so merciful because he already had Srila Prabhupada's books. He put a spotlight on them. He gave us the shovel to dig deeply into Prabhupada's books and gave us the key to open up the treasures to see what they were saying. Plus, he sprinkled upon those books the other books of the Goswamis. So we learn that we're not happy that Krishna goes to Mathura. We're not happy with Mathura's Krishna. What to speak of Dwarkadish Krishna. What beautiful mood Srila Gurudev is giving us to try to cultivate, beginning from Bhaini Bhakti. But he said if anybody follows the principles of Bhaini Bhakti under the guidance of a disciplic succession of Srila Rupa Goswami, he'll definitely come to Raghunuga Bhakti. How many times did Srila Gurudev go over in so many cities of the western and eastern world? Arajya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Tadama Vrindavanam. That the son of Nanda is my worshipable deity. Vrindavan is as worshipable to me. The son of Vasudeva and Devaki are not my worshipable deity. The husband of Rukmini and Rukmini and Satyabhama are not my worshipable deity. Ramya Karchit Upasanam Brajabadu Bargaina Jakopita. We accept as the highest worship what we want to follow, the and in Srila Prabhupada's words, the worship that was manufactured by the gopis and which Srila Gurudev elaborated on. By the mercy of his lotus feet, this is the last line of Yom Kali Rupa, by the mercy of his lotus feet, all can sing about and attain this divine bliss. How many songs did Srila Gurudev give us, sprinkling the understanding upon the songs that Srila Prabhupada gave us, which he got from his disciplic succession? One of the wonderful, beautiful things of Srila Gurudev is that he connected Srila Prabhupada. He connected our conception of Srila Prabhupada as not starting a new movement, but understanding all the places in Srila Prabhupada's books where he connects himself with his disciplic succession, his two disciplic successions, one starting from Brahma and one starting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming through Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda, and especially Chiruvita Goswami. When we didn't realize the danger we were in, and I have to apologize that I was one of the propagators, main propagators, of this misconception of Srila Prabhupada, that he's a cowherd boy. Because I was there a couple of times where he said, I gave him a painting of that Prabhupada told me to do, of Prabhupada's top half of his body sitting next to Kartamashai, which is who is the deity of Krishna, like with one hand on his hip and the other hand holding his coward stick. And Prabhupada, when I gave him the painting, Prabhupada said to me, I like that boy. My desire is to be his friend. But I misunderstood and took it that he meant I'm a coward boy. So Srila Gurudev undid all my bad to all those who were sincere enough to have it undone in their hearts by saying how his heart pains when he hears that Srila Prabhupada is a coward boy, because that derails him from his disciplic succession of Rupanuga. And how many times have we heard and read in Prabhupada's books that we are Rupanuga, and that Rupa Goswami is the supervisor of this Krishna consciousness movement. So regarding the songs here in the end of Yam Kali Rupa, it's stated, by the mercy of his lotus feet, all can sing about and attain such divine bliss. How much time and patience did Gurudev take in explaining all those songs that help us enter into this beautiful gift of Srila Rupa Goswami? Like, for example, without worshipping the lotus feet of Radharani, one can never attain the lotus feet of Krishna. All the other female manifestations, like Parvati, Saraswati, Uma, Lakshmi, Chandravali, Satyabhama, are all incarnations or expansions of Radharani. And I'm not interested in the association of anyone who's not in the party of Radharani. Srila Gurudev has opened us up more and more, just like Srila Prabhupada opened us up to the world of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Gurudev pulled those open doors up even more wide. Because I was, after Prabhupada left and I was studying Sharanagati, not left, he left the external vision of the world. But Srila Gurudev brought him back to the world like no one else could have. That's why he's successor. He's his successor. So, I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying just now? Open the door up. Why did you show Bhaktivinoda Thakur? After Srila Prabhupada left the vision of the world and I was reading Sharanagati, I was under the misconception that he was also a coward boy. So Srila Gurudev helped us all regarding all of our Guru Parampara and pointing out Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song in Gita Mala, where he said, I am Kamala Manjari and my dress is full of stars. My service is such and such. My abode is such and such. Gita Mala is a very, very beautiful book to read and sing. So by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami's lotus feet, all can sing about and attain such divine bliss. The surrendered Madhavadas is always praying to engage, to embrace Rupa's glories. We actually want to literally embrace Rupa Manjari, don't we? And embrace Rupa Goswami's glories and Rupa Manjari's glories. That's our goal. Without a goal, there's no question of a process. So then number two, the second part of our subject matter, what is our duty to understand and serve Srila Gurudev's Manovidya? Are you still there, Raghubiran, and beautiful devotees of Canada? Great, okay. Until what time is this class, by the way? In other words, you're at a different time zone, so how many more minutes should I go on? And then do you want to have questions? Okay, great. Okay, so what is our duty to understand and serve his Manovidyam? We've already discussed his Manovidyam. One is what's going on in his own internal world. And secondly, and very interestingly, I'll tell you a little secret. In 1996, in Houston, during Srila Gurudev's very first world tour, I had the opportunity to be alone with him, except for maybe one other person. And I asked him, can you please tell me what you do during the day? Because as a Manjari, because Madhav Maharaj had already shared with me some things here and there. But I wanted to hear directly from Gurudev. So Gurudev said, I don't want to talk about those things. I want to talk about Vilap Kusumanjali. In other words, the prayers of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami for the service of Srimati Radhika. So I understood from that whatever services, pretty much, whatever services Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is performing for Srimati Radhika in his form of a gopi, that is Rati Manjari, are the same services that Srila Gurudev is performing during the 24 hours in his Manjari form. So his innermost heart's desire is to serve in these ways. And he once told me about Srila Prabhupada, that he is one of the chokidars at Radharani's Kunj, just like we see in the four paintings of the Manjaris, that they're at least the two outer ones, the two inner ones, are chokidars. On one side, Krishna's already in the Kunj, and on the other side, when he comes late, very shy, with his chadar around his neck, meaning a sign of embarrassment, and he wants to come in the Kunj, they say, first tell us where you've been, and then we'll consider letting you in. And then after his lie, they say, well, you can just go back to where you came from. We don't let any black snakes into our Swaminiji's Kunj. And why did I say Swaminiji? I never have ever said that. Today is my first time. The reason is that I was just editing one morning walk or one darshan for the 2009 walk book, and they were, one of the devotees was explaining a verse. It was probably one of the sloka classes. So the devotee was saying, it was the verse about, oh mind, always remember, Krishna as the pranamath of my swamini, and always remember Radharani as my mistress. That verse from, Manushiksha, I think verse 9. So then the devotee was saying, so, oh mind, always remember that Radharani is my swamini. So Gurudev said, no, swamini ji. That was a couple of days ago, so today was my first time of saying it. So this is Gurudev's innermost heart's desire for us to come to. That's the main thing he wants us to do, is come to that. And as part of the process of coming to that, his manavistya is to give the world bhakti. Ultimately, bhaj bhakti, or however much the world can take towards that in this life. That is, we don't preach to the general public these subjects. You'll see, and you have seen the 2008 Morning Walk book, and you will see, in fact, you see it when he's in Canada. And you will see it again in the 2009 Morning Walk book, Darshan book, that there's so many times where he's saying how your teeth are going to fall out, you're going to be walking with a walking stick, your hair will turn white, you must do bhajan. Don't think that you're this body and engage in sense gratification. You're an eternal servant of Krishna, but you forgot it. Again and again. So he wants us to speak everywhere according to the capacity of the audience. And he really couldn't care less about the capacity of the audience in some ways regarding mass book distribution. He wants all my books should go to all classes of men, whether they're astic or religious or gnostic or atheist. Of course, when we cultivate people, we say first read Jivadharma, read Upadeshamrita, then read Manushiksha, don't immediately read Sankalpa Kalpadruma. But on the other hand, at the airport, when we ask Gurudev, when we're distributing books to the world, now we have this Sankalpa Kalpadruma that was just printed. Should that also go to everywhere? And he said yes. Why? Because they'll be all over the world. And when the people are ready for them, they'll find them in their neighbor's Elmira. They'll find them in their neighbor's kids' playroom. Somewhere, when they're ready, they will find it. Just like when we were ready, we found Prabhupada's books or Gurudev's books. So often I'm seeing again and again, hearing again and again, and reading again and again, Gurudev's conversations with different devotees. How can I serve you? Do bhajan, chant and remember, read Prabhupada's books and my books, and preach to your capacity. So what next? How do we see Srila Gurudev? So we've just discussed, how do we see Srila Gurudev's appearance in this world? He said, My duty in this world is to collect. Are you still there? Okay. My duty in this world is to collect so many seeds, wilted, dried up seeds, wilted, dried up sprouts, and wilted, dried up beginnings of flowers that Prabhupada plant this and water them with the water of Harikatha. It's also to collect so many souls who never had connection with Prabhupada and give them the seed and make that seed turn into a beautiful tree full of fruits and flowers, full of fragrance. Not a tree, but a flower, full of fragrance that I can proudly offer to Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So we've discussed the significance of his appearance. Now let us discuss in the next 15 minutes the significance of his disappearance. Because we hear, like right now, let us remember for a moment Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Rupa Goswami. What is the difference to us here in the year 2011? What is the difference to us if we're celebrating Srila Narottam Das Thakur's appearance day or different disappearance day? It doesn't make any difference. So what is the difference? Yes. Yes. Sure, I'll start doing that now.
The sound is very bad here.
Okay.
You can hear translation and, you know, it's not very
good. So were you able to hear the rest of the class, or the whole thing was a blur?
No,
there
was no
clear,
but a lot of
the... Okay, so this is clearer. Okay, I'll continue in this way. So, what is the significance to us who just experienced Srila Gurudev's apparent separation just a month ago? I say apparent because it's the same as the separation of when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and Dwarka. That is, in one prakost he left, in one section he left, in another section he didn't leave. He never leaves, but why did he appear to leave them? Because separation enhances meeting. We've been having a lot of classes on this here in Gopinath Bhavan. We have about 14 classes on the subject of Srila Gurudev's separation and his identity. So if you like, I think Vasanti has been posting them on a URL, so if you like, she can send them to you. And ultimately, they'll get posted on Keep In Touch, I think. So, separation enhances meeting. Krishna would come to Mother Yasoda and weep to come on her lap. And then she would say, "No, no, you can't come on my lap. You're so dirty. You play with the monkeys. You roll in the dirt. And you steal everything. Not only are you dirty, but you're a thief. No, I won't let you come on my lap. If there's any thievery in Vrindavan, we can know that my son was the head of it." So then Krishna would wail and roll on the ground, and still she wouldn't take him on her lap. But then some demon would come and give a sense of separation, like Trinavarta would come and whirl Krishna up in the sky, and all the Vrijbhakis would go mad in separation and fear for Krishna's welfare. And then after Krishna was released from the demon, then Mother Yasoda took Krishna to her breast and embraced him so tightly, weeping. So similarly, Krishna left Vrindavan to create waves in the ocean of the Vrijbhasis' love. We know that an ocean without waves... Wait, does Sandy want to say something?
No, I'm thinking about the last one.
Oh. Is this better? She just took you off the loudspeaker. Is this better for you or worse? Okay, good. So, where are we? As we know that ocean without waves is boring. Whereas in some place like Jagannath Puri, when I was there in Jagannath Puri several years ago, I would see that people would stand or sit in front of the ocean and watch the ocean like a TV set. The waves were so interesting. So separation enhances and nourishes meeting. When there's meeting, much of the internal is forgotten. And in separation, the external is forgotten, and all remembrances come into the heart in a much richer way. So we have a tendency to be very complacent and think, oh, I don't have to worry about seeing Gurudev. I'll see him in Canada, or I'll see him in Houston. But now there's only one place to see him, which is on his terms, which is by absorption in him and by doing bhajan and reaching him in Goloka Vrindavan, and by remembering him as and meditating on him and praying to him for answers and for guidance. I've read and heard so many times him saying, just meditate on me, pray to me, and I'll give you the answer. The answer may come a little late, he said, but it will come. And as Yasodhanandan Prabhu sent out a message to the world of devotees, before we didn't have equal access. But now we all have equal access, as much as we want it, or as less as we want it. So Srila Gurudev's disappearance is very significant. It's not that he said to us or is saying to us, well, I gave you as much bhakti as I want to give you, so now I'm packing up my bags and going. But rather, he's continuing in a potentially more deep way if we take advantage of it. We've been reading for the last few nights here at Gopinath Bhavan from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because Srila Gurudev's first pre-disappearance lecture was in Badger. I think many of you were there just this past year, 2010. So he said, this is going to be my last tour to America. And then he took a big sigh, like somebody who was climbing a mountain, and then he reached the top of the mountain, and then he's so tired, so he gives a big sigh. So he gave that big sigh, and then I looked at him, I said, oh no, Gurudev, don't give that sigh. I know what that means. It means I've worked all these years, and now I'm coming to the end of my manifested stay. And so I was thinking that, and he immediately looked at me. So I know that I was thinking the right thing, that he was purposely giving that sign, not just for me, but for everybody, to like, hurry bowl, everybody, get it together. I'm not kidding. You really are going to die. Your hair really is going to turn white. And there's only one way to find me, and that is in bhajan and full absorption in my guru seva, so that we get more and more secretis for bhajan. So everything from him is intentional. Even his ignoring someone is with his full attention. I'll tell you a story that happened in 1997 in Australia. There was one couple who later on became your godmother and godsister, named Yugo Kishore and Orvasi, his wife's name. So they came from ISKCON And they heard that they shouldn't go and see him. But they thought, well, let us see for ourselves anyway. So as soon as she saw Gurudev, she immediately fell in love with him. But he was still thinking, well, let me keep checking this out. So Gurudev gave her so much obvious attention, but not to him. And so every day, hearing Gurudev's classes, he was getting, his doubts were going away more and more, and he was getting more and more interested. But still, Gurudev wasn't paying him apparent attention. So then finally, on the last day, in his mind, he was screaming, give me some attention already! But it was just in his mind. So then Gurudev looked at him and said, I'm working on you. So that means all this time Gurudev was giving him his full attention. So Gurudev's disappearance is also his full attention. So anyway, so in Badger, what was Gurudev's pre-disappearance pastime theme? It was Krishna leaving Vrindavan. And then he did the same thing in Mathura. Well, he did it first in Russia. His theme was the Srimad Bhagavatam, cantos 1 to 10. But in the middle of his class, on the first canto, he, as usual, he called on Sripad Pamanav Maharaj to speak about a certain verse. And then while Pamanav Maharaj was speaking, Gurudev said, it's too hot in here. And then he got up and walked out in the middle of the class. And half the class started crying because he'd already been a day late and they were already feeling so much separation. He almost wasn't going to come because of his health. And then he walked out in the middle of the first day and they thought this was going to be the last class. Fortunately, they gathered together they decided that he would be coming early morning when it was cool out. So he continued the next day. But he's doing all the pre-disappearance things. So similarly, when he came to Mathura, again he spoke about Krishna's pastime of leaving Vrindavan, and how he left and didn't left, and what was his purpose, and how crying is a good thing, and feeling separation is a good thing. It's really great. Because, well, I'll go back to that later. I'll go back to the because in a minute. But then, he gave his class on Janmashtami, which was his last class, on the same subject. And so then in the last few days, we've been reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how Krishna left Vrindavan, and how even the birds were flying around the chariot of Akur. And even the deer and cows and calves and buffaloes, they were all surrounding the chariot and weeping. And then all the gopis and cows and deer were all strewn all over the pathway. And Akura had to swivel the chariot in order to go on his path to Mathura because he had to not drive over them. He had to go in a very zigzag way. And then how all the stones from Govardhan ruptured and the stones fell to the ground, dragging the trees with them. And how all the lotuses, who are more elevated in bhakti than even the greatest human devotees in Mathura and Vrindavan, they all withered and broke off from their stems and were carried away in the swift current of the Jamuna. So, separation is a good thing. I forgot what I was going to say, because what? What was the because?
Why it's important to cry?
Why it's important to cry? Why is it important to cry in separation? Yes. Because we know that the goal of bhajan is to feel separation from Radharani and her service, and to come to the point of being such a follower of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami that will become one with his mood, which was in Vallabh Krishnanjali, Devi, if you don't show me your mercy in the next second, then I'll be burnt up in the great forest fire of separation from you, and I'll die. That's how he was really feeling. So Gurudev explained that there's no question of any sense of separation from Radharani unless there's separation from Gurudev on that level. So he said, Gurudev has left, he was speaking to my god brothers, your Gurudev has left, but you're living in this world very pleasantly, enjoying carob cake, but never carrot cake, and giggling and all that kind of stuff. So unless we can weep like Raghunath Das Goswami, now that I've lost the Lord of my life, Vrindavan has become like a desolate desert. Radhakund has become like the gaping mouth of a tigress. And Govardhan has become like a big python. And at the same time, very gravely preaching the message all over the world. When looking at the non-devotees, okay, can everybody turn your head? Everybody in Canada, can you turn your head and pretend you're looking at the non-devotees? Gurudev said, if you're looking one way towards the non-devotees, you think, I know something. And now can everybody turn the other way looking towards Gurudev? And then when you look the other way towards your Gurudev, you think, I know nothing. So this goes on indefinitely. So that's the end of number two. Are there any questions or comments? From anybody in Canada? Who's this? Jana Shakti, thank you. Are you the one who just wrote me the letter? Did you write me the letter about the art? Well, did you look at it after? Thanks to you, they now have our Bhakti Art website under the picture. And they have the right name of the picture, Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur. So as soon as the people go on the website, they'll be connected with Gurudev. And Prabhupada. So yes. What's the question? So for the devotees here, I'll repeat the question. That Prabhupada said that book distribution is service in the mood of the gopis. Well, the only thing that I can understand about it is that the gopis were always chanting the glories of Krishna to everyone and anyone, even if they were unconscious trees. They would talk to the trees. And they would talk to the animals. So, we go everywhere and preach, give prasadam to the animals, and preach to all the human beings, and chant loudly so all the insects in the air can hear. And ultimately that's our goal, to be book distributed like the gopi. Now the main gopi, Gurudev explained, the main gopi who's propagating book distribution is Srimati Radhika. Because she's the one who said in the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, I think it's verse 9, that, what is that verse? Forget the Sanskrit just now. the meaning, maybe somebody can remind me of the Sanskrit.
If you can get a copy key
for my thing. That the narrations about the glories of Krishna are... Oh, yes, Tavakatamritam Tadvajivanam Kavaviriditam Kamasapaham Shavanamangalam Srimarajatam Bhuvigranajite Bhuvirajana. So there's the direct meaning, which is indicated by Chandravali and her party, that the glories of Krishna give immortality, and they're the best medicine for one who's suffering in repeated births and deaths. But then when the same verse is indicated by Srimati Radhika, she's saying that the glories of Krishna give death. Just that we're the best examples of that. We were happy in our homes, and we're now just like birds living in the forest with no home. Nobody should hear the glories of Krishna. If you see anybody carrying a Srimad Bhagavatam under his arms, saying, come on, it's all free, hear from me, then just give him a donation and tell him to go away. Because we're the perfect example that our lives became miserable. And then Srila Vyasadeva recorded that, meaning that everyone should distribute these books, because it's an indirect meaning, which really means everyone should connect with Krishna. So in those ways, I would say that's the answer. Is that okay? I can't hear you. Okay. I love to hear that I'm perfect. That's why I came to the material world. Just to hear those things. Any other questions or comments?
Canada.
If there's no questions from Canada, okay. Hare Krishna Dandavad. Repeat that? Well, okay.
Is this also being recorded here?
So, what I was sharing that when I first joined Gurudev, the question is, part of the discussion was blurry. The part about Madhav Maharaj and Gurudev's identity. Could I repeat it? So, when I first joined Gurudev,
she asked me to repeat something I said already.
When I first joined Gurudev and understood what he wanted to give and who he is, that he's one of the Manjaris, then I sometimes, when I would speak to Madhav Maharaj and there was nobody around, right near us, I would ask him, can you please tell me what Srila Gurudev is doing right now or what he's doing during the day? And Madhav Maharaj would tell me some things. So then I asked Gurudev in 1996 on his first world tour if he could tell me some things that he was doing during the day. So he said, I don't want to talk about those things. I want to talk about the Lapakus Manjali. So I understood that whatever Raghunath Das Goswami in his form as a gopi, Rati Manjari, is doing in the service of Radharani, that pretty much all those things are also being done by Gurudev in his Manjari form in Goloka Vrindavan. Wow. So we can understand that when we read all the books of our Goswamis, like Sharanagati, Gitavali, Stavavali, Stavamala, and we read the prayers of our Goswamis, of what they're praying to Radharani to let them do for her, or praying to the other associates of Radharani to let, to bless me that I can do, Gurudev is doing those services. Is that it? Thank you. Thank you. Well, I might as well share one of the things that Madhav Maharaj told me, since while we're at it, might be. He said when Radharani comes to cook in the morning at Nanda Bhavan, the gopis and the manjaris are all helping by chopping vegetables. So how fortunate are we to do that service here, to chop vegetables, thinking that we're assisting, or praying that when will the day come when I can assist my Gurudev who's assisting Radharani with that. And they're getting the wood for the fire and helping in so many ways. So Radharani is, she's not wearing all of her veils and everything. She's not wearing her ornaments so that she can have versatility while she's cooking. So the manjaris like Gurudev say to her, we're in the midst of so many fires now, hundreds of fires she cooks on at the same time, because Krishna has a lot of carrier boyfriends. So you're in the midst of all these fires, but you're so cool we don't even need to fan you. Whereas at other times, when you're feeling separation from Krishna, your body is so hot that even when we lie you down on a bed of camphor and cooling lotus petals, immediately the lotus petals and the camphor dries up and becomes dust. So now, because you're serving Krishna, you're so happy, so we don't even have to fan you. So she might say something like that. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay. Wow. Is that Hare Krishna Dandavat Prabhu? By the way, Rupa Raghunath Prabhu, you don't know this, but you're going to be in the 2009 Morning Walks book. Because you're asking Gurudev about the relationship of Gopi Swara Mahadev and Sadashiva, like that. So that's there. Yes. That's a good question, and Gurudev recognized in us that in us, and that's why he said, your Gurudev has departed and you're enjoying the material world pleasantly. He's speaking to all of us. So one thing is we can know that and then lament, and then as we sing the songs of the bhajans, lament that into the song. Like whatever we're praying, we can give a PS on I'm so dry. We can sing those songs where Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Narottam Das Thakur are saying how dry they are, or we can sing their songs where they're saying how they're weeping, like Narottam Das Thakur is weeping, I'm going to bash my head against a stone because of separation. And then lament that I'm not there. As Prabhupada said, lamentation is purification. And then with that aim in mind, do what I'm doing. Because that's the definition of sadhan bhakti. To do all my devotional activities with bhav bhakti as the aim in mind. I once asked Gurudev, I seem to be, this is about 1993, I said I seem to be spending half my day criticizing others and the other half of my day And the other half of my day, being worried that others are criticizing me. So what do I do to get out of this mess? So Gurudev said, don't have time for that. Be so absorbed in the bhajans and praying for the right moods that you won't have time for the wrong moods. So lamenting into the prayers. Does that help? I'm in the same boat, so I can appreciate the question. Does that help? Huh? Thank you, Prabhu. Thanks for asking that good question. Are there any others from Canada? Otherwise, there's a question from Gopinath Bhavan. Okay, Jamuna?
You were speaking about...
Speak into here.
Oh. I wanted...
Please speak into here like this.
Hari Bol, Canada. I wanted to hear you repeat the beginning of the class. You mentioned Sai Bhav and that it's a fixed Bhav of the Brajabasis. Everyone has their own mood in one of the different moods of service. But you said that the Manjaris have, there was a Madhurya, but then there was this other mood that started with a U, I think, and I can't remember. I just was wondering if you could speak about this Bhav, because I don't know I've heard about it.
Thank you. This mood is talked about by Gurudev in his lectures, and you'll also find it in the English translation of Venu Geet. I don't remember which purport to which verse. So, and my mind still goes back to Rupa Raghunath Prabhu's question, that really the what's the word? I can't think of a bad enough word. The sickeningness of the situation that we don't weep. So Gurudev said in that talk, when he was saying that we go unpleasantly, he said the more you think of Gurudev as how great he is, then we won't weep. We'll have the Aishwarya one. But the more you think how much he loved me and all the remembrances that I had with him. And here, actually, you know, besides Gurudev's lectures on Pure Bhakti TV, there are all those 1992, 93, 94, 91 darshans with Gurudev where he's answering a lot of questions. And a lot of them about relationship with Guru. So hearing that also helps to have that more intimate feeling. And then that will help also in coming to the weeping. He said, this is the goal that we want of Gurudev, to come to that Bhav, which is Bhava Bhakti, actually. It doesn't really come to that. But that's the rare relationship that we want with Gurudev, he said. Just like a son has a father, and the father is very great, but still he jumps on the father's lap and caresses the father's cheek. That's the kind of relationship we want with Guru, but not artificially, when we come to that very high level. So we have a very good goal. So, to answer this question about Stai Bhav, there are five Stai Bhavs, generally. Or, more specifically, four. Servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal. So, all the gopis have a conjugal relationship, Madhurya Bhav. The Sanchari Bhav, or a wave in that ocean of Madhurya Bhav, an ecstatic wave in that ocean, is the Sanchari Bhav of friendship with Radharani, where the love for Radharani becomes almost as great as, or as great as, the love for Krishna. But for the Manjaris, that Surit Bhav, or friendship mood of love and affection towards Radharani, increases unlimitedly without any stop at any moment. and the wave becomes so great that it becomes the whole ocean. So the Manjaris are the only ones with the Stai Bhav of Surit Rati, or friendship with Radharani, and that Stai Bhav is called Bhav Ulas Rati. Ulas means the ecstasy, becoming one with the ecstasy of Radharani as a vicarious experience.
Huh?
I mean, just like Prabhupada used to make going back to Godhead sound like it was right around the corner. So in the same way, Gurudev would sometimes make analogies so simple. Like I was, in 1992, I was sitting with Gurudev and my guide sister Aditya, and he was trying to explain how it's not necessary to want to be a gopi and have a direct relationship with Krishna, because it's higher to do it vicariously. And so he gave an analogy that doesn't have complete analogous points, but has some analogous points. He said, just like you and I are talking, and Aditya is sitting and listening. So if we laugh because she feels so close to both of us, she'll also laugh. So when something happens to Radharani, all of the maidservants think that it's happening to them. And because Radharani has the highest pleasure, because she gives Krishna the highest pleasure, so in their relationship she's having the highest pleasure, they also have a higher pleasure than the gopis who have a direct relationship with Krishna, because they give him less pleasure than Radharani and experience less pleasure. So that's Bhava Las Rati. Any last question from the devotees in Canada? Okay. Any from here? And say that again. Who? Who's this? Oh, Hare Krishna, Dandavad Pranam. Hare Krishna. That's a good question. So the question is, for the devotees here, you heard like second hand, or you heard from the lady, Australia, that an older disciple of Prabhupada was telling Gurudev that she hesitated to take shelter of him because of his advanced age. So if I take shelter of you now and then you leave, I'll just be left with nothing. So Gurudev said, I'll leave a hundred Gurudevs behind. So you're asking, what's my understanding of the meaning of that? Yes? I can try to answer it by telling two other experiences that I've had, which is similar. I personally asked him, on the roof in Mathura, who do we go to after you leave? Who will be your representative? So he said, don't worry, I will arrange that you all have attached bathrooms in Goloka Vrindavan. And the two meanings that I got out of that is that, number one, don't worry, I'm not leaving, I'll never leave, and I'll continue to make arrangements for you. And second, is that as long as you're attached to attached bathrooms, you'll never get to go local Vrindavan. So then in Badger, he said, sometimes people tell me, Maharaj, we're worried that after you, what will become of everything? So I answer them, Gurudev is saying, I answer them that don't worry, the disciplic will always be a next acharya. And then I'll refer us to Prabhupada's translation and commentary in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when King Malayadvaja leaves the world and his wife, Vidarbi, starts weeping. So there in one of those purports, Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada translates that just as the Manus, like each Manu lives for, Manus are the rulers of the universe, so each Manu lives for 71.5 millenniums, that's like billions of years. So after one Manu dies, another Manu is immediately comes in. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes that just as that's true with the Manus, it's true with the Krishna consciousness movement. It never had any beginning, although it began at a certain point in this material world, and it will have no end. He said the principles of the nine processes of devotional service will go on forever in the disciplic succession. So there'll be 100 Gurudevs, means there'll be a next Gurudev, and a next Gurudev, and then maybe there'll be 2 Gurudevs, and then maybe there'll be 3 Gurudevs, and then maybe there'll be 1 Gurudev. Does that make sense? The thing is to find him. Now, I don't know where he is. So I want this Gurudev to be fully manifest in my heart so that I can hear him, and at the same time, I don't know how to look for his representative except to pray to Gurudev and Prabhupada that did I run out of luck at 2? And can I know there is one in the world because I've read in Prabhupada's books and from Gurudev that there always is. So what can I do? I'm lost. And I have to develop, so I can't give you a full answer in terms of me. I have to develop my whole prayer system and urge for that. Because before I met Gurudev, I was actually weeping to Prabhupada for a deeper connection. And I mean, literally weeping a lot. And I'm sure those of you who were Prabhupada's disciples had the same experience as me. And then Prabhupada brought us to Gurudev. And then Gurudev brought us to more Prabhupada. So it really takes that to meet the next representative of Gurudev. I don't know if that was helpful or not. Thanks for your encouragement, thank you. So I guess that's the end then. And I'm so sorry that we didn't know at the beginning about me speaking directly into the phone. I'm sorry that it was... If you want to hear the beginning of the class more clearly, Vasanti will post it to you. Where will you post it?
I'll send an email to Raghubir.
She'll send Raghubir Prabhu an email. Thank you very much for helping us remember Gurudev and Prabhupada and all the other great personalities. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you, Charles.